Good morning. And how are you? Blessed. We are blessed. Yesterday, this morning, someone wrote, a priest wrote against me in this particular thing that hates my guts, and I was feeling kind of like upset about it, as I can do. And then I opened up a thing on YouTube, and the opening thing was this little video, and the first thing is, "You are not the center of the universe. Get over it." Can you imagine? I just start laughing out loud like, you are right, exactly. But what happens, though, today in the first reading, God, who is the center of the universe, focuses on somebody who is not. Here is, we have the dialogue between God, the center of the universe, the I am who am, and Moses, who's just a sheep herder at that time, out with the sheep, minding his own business. And then God calls him. "Moses, Moses, here I am," Moses says. "Come no further, for you're standing on holy ground." Now, this is what happens to all of us who are not the center of the universe. Some of us just minding our own business, doing our own thing. And then every day, just as God called Moses, God calls you by name. Every day he calls you by name. Moses, Moses, or Larry, Larry, or Samantha, Samantha, whatever your name happens to be, God calls you by name to be with him. And when he calls you by name, you got to answer the way Moses did. "Here I am. What do you want? Anything you want." And then when we come into his presence, we got to remember, sometimes we take coming into God in our prayer as something commonplace, but it's never commonplace. We're coming into holy ground because no matter when we pray, we come into the presence of the God, the center of the universe, the I am who am, God. And so we got to always remember and step back for a second and remember, before I enter into prayer, who am I with? I'm with God. You know, years ago, you've heard me talk about it, but when I was in Rome and I was with the Sisters of Mother Teresa, Sisters of Charity, and we went there early in the morning, Father Nick and I, and before we went into the chapel, we had to take off our shoes. Why? It was holy ground. It was a very startling reminder that every time we go to church, we're entering into holy ground. So I don't have to make anybody take off their shoes. I can't even get people to clean their feet. But anyway, I can see up here, someone walked around with their boots. But that's all beside the point. But this is holy ground. This is the place where God dwells. And when we come together, we have to acknowledge the reality. This isn't the mall. This isn't some place we just go. This is holy ground. We're encountering the living God here. And if anything we do does not acknowledge that, that's just wrong. And even in our daily life, you know, again, sometimes I'll argue priests will come out and they'll say things like, you know, just do the red and say the black. Doing the red, saying the black, okay, is that enough? I don't think, because you can be an atheist and do the red and say the black. And there are many times when I go and I do my office. I never miss an office, you know. People can accuse me of many things, but that ain't one of them. I never miss an hour of the office. But after I do all the office, after I do everything that the church has required, and then after I'm done, I realize that I had not communicated once with the God of the universe. I did what I was supposed to. I did the ritual. But I did not enter into relationship. I did not hear him say my name. I did not sit there and realize I was on holy ground. I just got something done. I don't know if you're ever like that, when you just say your rosary, or just say your Divine Mercy Chaplet, or you just do whatever you do, and you just do it because this is what I do. And we don't enter into this holiness of who God is. So what he's doing is he's calling us to stop. And so what I'd encourage you to do is do what you always do, but decide for the rest of Lent anyway, but I would encourage you for the rest of your life, that you add at least 5 minutes of silence. Because when God called him, as we talked about last week, God always is the one who calls. But when God called him, he was still for a moment, so God could then speak to him, "I have heard the cry of my people, And as he hears the cry of his people, I am sending you to deal with them. That God always has a plan for you. It's called a vocation. And if you're still alive, I think everybody here is still alive, he has a plan for your life. Every day when you wake up and you think, oh, this is what I'm going to do today, God says, oh, that's good, but you know, I have a better plan for you. I'm not interested. Be interested. And notice whatever his plan is almost always for others, not for you. I don't need anything right now, God. I'm quite happy. Oh, I know, but there's other people around you that are not. And I have sent you to them to set them free. Because that's what God does, right? He sets us free. And sometimes, all the time, he wants to use you and me to be the instrument to set other people free. It could be in their bondage of sin. It can be in their bondage of loneliness. It can be in their bondage of not feeling good about themselves. Whatever it is that God says, this is what I want you to do to help somebody else. It's a vocation. It's what you're created for. And you'll never hear him say that truly. Of course, when I say never, it's usually you will not hear him say that unless you acknowledge who you're with. I'm in holy ground in front of the holy, holy God. For though he is everything and I am nothing, he wants to speak to me. And then we need to listen. So God, who is holy, can tell us what he wants of us. And then, of course, we need to do it. So today, as God called Moses, 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 he calls you, he calls me by name. He wants us to be with him. And he comes down to be with us. Remove your shoes. You're on holy ground. And listen. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? May it know his love today and forever. Amen.